Exodus 20, verse 13. If you found it, please rise with me and let's read the awesome word of God. It's very short. Let's go. Thou shalt not kill. Let's read a second time. Thou shalt not kill. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 4. The book of Genesis chapter 4. And we are going to read from verse 1. We're going to read from verse 1 to verse 13. Let's go. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Father, in Jesus' name we thank you. We bless you. We praise you for your word. In your word there is life. In your word there is light. We receive an endowment of your life through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. We receive the empowerment of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You can put your Bibles down and give God another praise because he's in the house. Amen. Water, blood, oil, and bread. Amen. Said that when God wants to come through for his people, to cause his people to flourish, he comes first of all as water. That's why he gave the commandments to Moses. He comes as water. He comes following water. He comes as blood to consecrate us. And then following that, he comes as oil to anoint us. And then he comes through finally with bread, provision. Amen. Provision. We ask him for bread. But he started out with water, blood, oil, and then finally bread. Amen. Praise God. I hope you are applying these to your lives. It's life changing and it's life transforming. That's for me. Hallelujah. We are on the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. When you're listening to the evening news, some of our popular local channels, almost every day, you will hear the report of some murder. Some murder. If it's not within the state, within the tri-state, within the region or the nation, there is always a murder somewhere. And sometimes it's on a mass scale. We hear of kids going to schools with guns taken from home and do a mass execution. We hear of gang murders. We hear of robbery that end up with murder. And then we have aggravated assault that takes place in homes. Husbands, wives, friends. It's a common story in our society. To compound this problem is systemic murder, where we know of several people who are incarcerated wrongly, wrongful conviction. We have prosecutors who won't do their job, but want the promotion that comes with it. So they want to close a case as fast as possible. So whoever looks like a suspect is nabbed, and sometimes evidence is planted. They just want to get rid of the case. So a lot of malpractice in the justice system gets people wrongfully convicted. Now that's a form of murder. That is a form of murder. When you take somebody's life and throw them into the stocks unjustifiably, that is a form of murder. And too many of the people in our jailhouses are there because they've been wrongly convicted. So there is systemic murder. And then we have murder that is committed by business entities on a daily basis. They know the side effects. If you watch a little television, you realize that the majority of the adverts are medical drugs. A lot of drugs. And because of suit upon suit upon suit cases, now you hear that a product can cure this infirmity. But watch out. If you have this, if you have that, if you have this, because it might even aggravate your condition. There are a lot of products being put out there just for the sake of money. Just for the sake of money. They have to please their shareholders. So research that is not complete, research that is not thorough, and yet they advance with the product because they have a way of getting the product approved by the FDA. And they put it out there, and a lot of people are dying from the side effects of medications. Amen. That's a form of murder. Then also, we have food. A lot of the things we eat are not even food again. They are not food. They are plastics. They are not food. Yet they are being sold. And we are consuming it. And that's why, as a generation, there is so much sickness, infirmity. There were certain infirmities that previously, years back, was when you were old. And when your immune system was weak. That was when you contracted some infirmities, but not today. Young people, young children are victims because of the food. Not just food, also technology. There are a lot of products with so many dangerous, devastating side effects that deny people of their life. The essence of the sixth commandment is about life. Everyone say with me, life.
Life.
Say it again.
Life.
Life. Life. The value of the human life. The value of a human life. Every human being is precious in the eyes of God. And the reason for the sixth commandment is to say, you ought to value human life. Turn to someone and say, you are precious in the sight of God. Your life is precious. Hallelujah. The human life is precious. And because we've thrown the Ten Commandments out of our society, now we're being killed systemically. We're killing one another. And this morning I'm going to try to go deep into what it means to deny someone of their lives. It's not only those who take guns and shoot people that are murderers. We murder one another every day. Let's go into the scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. He says, I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Let's read it again. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Hallelujah. I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Choose life that you may live, you and your descendants. I set that before you. This is Moses talking to the children of Israel by revelation. God says, I've set before you life and death. It's a choice. There is a way of life, and there is a way of death. Cain and his brother decided to bring an offering unto the Lord. The purpose of the offering was to invoke the favor of God. I believe that God told them the standard for an offering. God gave them the standard for an offering. And Abel complied with that standard. Firstling, flock, and fat. Say with me, firstling, flock, and fat. You look throughout the Old Testament, that was the requirement of God. So God placed it upon their hearts. Bring me firstling, bring me flock, bring me fat. And Abel complied. Abel did it just as God requested. Abel fulfilled the standard. Abel just did it right. Cain also knew what was expected, but decided to do it his own way. You know, in today's New Testament church, we got a lot of Cains. People with the spirit of Cain. Well, why should God demand a tithe? Why should God demand me to give all of this? I also have needs. I also have challenges. Well, I'll give what's within my power. I'll give what's within my ability, what I feel comfortable with. I don't feel comfortable with what God really requires. This is what I feel comfortable with. That's the spirit of Cain. What you feel comfortable with. So the Bible says that after they had offered, God had respect unto Abel's offering. In other words, things began to look good on Abel. It looked like he had unusual favor because God had respect unto his offering. But suddenly Cain realizes that he's short. Abel is prospering, he's stuck. Now, the Bible says he got very angry. And the scripture says his countenance fell. It was very obvious from his demeanor that there was something wrong. If he was only angry, God has no problem with people getting angry. There's something called righteous anger. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, the apostle Paul says, be angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down on your anger. That means that you can be angry. You can be angry. But there's a threshold. I'll get into that. So now God comes and says, because God saw that his countenance had fallen. God doesn't come because you are angry. He comes because now it's eating you up. And when God came, God says, hey, Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance falling? Because God could feel the energy of his demeanor. And to God, says, just do the right thing. If you do the right thing, will you not be accepted? Somebody, you have your Bibles open. Verse 7. I wanted to see that. Chapter 4. And verse 7. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. I wanted to see it in your eyes. If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? If you do well, this is God himself. This is the guy who, this is God who accepted Abel's offering and did not have respect to Cain. He is the reason why Cain was angry. He was angry because God respected Abel, but God didn't respect him. So this same God comes through and says, hey, Jack, just do the right thing. Go and put yourself together. You disrespected me in the first instance. You know, I always teach you this thing. I always use this example. Let me use it this morning. Don't go to the dollar store to buy your rich friend a watch. It can look gold plated. But when your friend wears, when you give a rich friend a dollar store watch, you're looking for trouble. Because it were better for you not to give him a gift at all.
That is a double insult. That's an insult. You mean that that's my worth? I mean, it gets so. It's the same with God. God does. You look at how you treat yourself. You look at how you take care of yourself. You look at what you will do for yourself. You look at a gift which you will consider an insult from a friend. But for God, it's worth it. Okay, let's leave that. God said to Cain, it has nothing to do with Abel. It has nothing to do with me. It has all to do with you. If you do right. How will God say if you do right if he hasn't taught them right? If he hasn't set a standard? He had told them what was right. Just do the right thing and you will be accepted. If you do the right thing, won't you be what? Accepted. Won't you be accepted? So God was telling him the first rule of life is compliance. Say with me, the first rule of life is compliance. I want you to know one thing, that God is the source of life. God is the source of life. Say with me, God is the source of life. You know, in the same Deuteronomy chapter 30, he said, let me just read it quickly. Deuteronomy 30, the next verse. Who can read the next verse for me? Okay, I got it. He says, where did I read? Oh, now I'm looking somewhere else. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cleave unto him, for he is thy life. Oh, he is thy what? And the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. God is our life. Say with me, God is my life. God is our life. He is our life. There is a life that he gave unto Adam. But when Adam fell, he says, if you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die. So, mankind died to the life of God when Adam died through sin. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15, for in Adam all die. In Adam all die. But in Christ Jesus are we made alive. In Adam all die. So the question is, if we were dead in Adam, why are we here? Why are we here? We're here because if we are not born again, we just have what we call bios, biological life. Now, let's turn to Genesis and chapter 9. Right after the flood, God accepts the sacrifice of Noah, and then he sets new rules. Remember that half of the people that were on planet Earth as at the time of Noah were descendants of Cain. Another half were the descendants of Seth. So 50% murderers. You look in Genesis chapter 4, one of the early descendants of Cain, Lamech, he says, I've killed a young man for hurting me. So there was a lot of murder on the face of the earth. Now, after the flood, God says, these are the rules. Now, he says, from verse 3, and every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. Let's read from verse 4 to verse 6. Let's go. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Now, in this scripture, God is giving some ground rules. He says that, number one, you shall not eat an animal with its blood. You can eat an animal, but don't eat blood. Now, we've been learning about a lot about the blood in this series. In every of the commandments, we see the relevance of blood. And the reason why God does not want us to eat the blood of animals is because animals have a soul. And in their soul, they have instincts by which they live. Animal blood is full of instincts. Instincts. The difference between an animal blood and a human blood or the human soul is that the human soul is made up of conscience, emotions, thoughts, and will. But not with an animal. An animal does not have the thought, also known as the intellect. An animal doesn't process information. An animal is only instinctive. There are instincts in the bloodline. When he's hungry, he goes for food. If there is the instinct of hunting, he hunts for food. Everything an animal does is instinctive. That's why we tell you, don't touch the tail of a dog. Yeah. Doesn't matter if you are the boss. He'll bite you. Out of what? Instinct. So the blood of animals are full of instincts. And the reason God says don't eat an animal with the blood is because there is potential for you to imbibe the instincts of an animal. There is a potential for you to imbibe the instincts of what? Of an animal. It's a spiritual thing. Animals live by instincts. God says the life of every being, animal and human being, is in the blood. So he says, don't eat the life of an animal, because you will receive the what? The instincts of that animal. You know, this human being is animalistic because he just behaves like an animal. All right? So don't drink the blood of animals. Don't kill another man's. Don't shed blood. If you shed blood, your blood will also be shed. So God set the rules. Because the life of a man is in his blood. That is the human spirit. That is the human spirit. We have a human spirit.
Amen. We have a human spirit. And the human spirit continues to live even though God said to Adam, if you sin, if you eat of that tree, you will die. The human spirit continues to live because God was speaking about spiritual death. Spiritual death. From then on, Adam's human spirit, here is Adam, and we are the descendants, all right? Now, the human spirit now is empty, but in Jesus, Jesus comes to adopt us. John chapter 1, in the beginning, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And all things were made by Him. Without Him was nothing made that was made. Now let's read verse 4 together. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. Say with me, in Him was life, and the life was the light of man. In Him. Who is that Him? Who is that Him? Why are you not so confident? Who is that Him? Jesus. In Jesus was life. Oh. And that life is the light of man. Life. Now, the life that was in Adam after he had sinned is called bios. You remember in school you learned biology. Life, study of life. Bios. Same life in animals, same life in humans. The only difference is that the human blood, like I said, has got conscience, emotions, intellect, and will. All right? That's the human mind. But the animal blood does not have an intellect. It doesn't reason. Now, if humans didn't bring the dog and the cat and domesticate them, they'll still remain in the wild. If we didn't bring animals into the zoo, they'll still remain in their habitat. The last time I checked, the forest has no civilization. They remain the same. Animals just hunt, they eat, they live by instinct. They reproduce all by instinct. They don't develop. They just stay in their habitat and keep responding to instinct. But we human beings are different. So even though there is civilization, it doesn't mean we have the life of God. We're still dead, and we still continue to commit murder, like I outlined, through our work, through our lifestyle, even the things that we say to one another. God said, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Do you know that when you curse a human being, you alter their destinies? It's true, there is a reason for which you cursed them. But when you curse a human being, you alter their destiny. You alter it. And when you alter it, you might as well have taken a knife and cut their neck. You might have taken a gun and shot them. Because they cannot
they cannot fulfill God's purpose for their lives. They act crazy. They cannot receive and function in a certain aspect of the life that God has ordained for them. That's why he says in Proverbs, the power of life and death is in the tongue. The power of life and death. So there are a lot of us who are murderers sitting out here. And we have to repent. And we have to release people who we have tied up. No, some things that we say carelessly. Jesus emphasized it. He says, one of the areas where there's going to be a lot of judgment is careless words. Some of you have what we call, some of us have what we call self-imposed curses. In other words, we have killed ourselves. We have committed suicide by the very things that we have said over our own lives. We have committed suicide. God's own hands are tied as far as those areas of our lives are concerned. That's why it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Sometimes it's something that the preacher says and says, say after me, and you said it and bow, a curse is broken. Something is released. You can't be fool of yourselves. So God said, life, the lifeblood of a human being is in the blood. So now, let's talk about bios for a minute. The human spirit. The human spirit has everything that pertains to the man, and we can function in a certain dimension. It's not everyone out there who is building houses and inventing things that are born again. But it's all within the realm of bios, because we have an intellect where we can reason and process information. Reason and process information. But when we get saved, then we receive Zoe, the life of God. Zoe is the life of God that the scripture said in Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 20. For he is our life and our length of days. And then in John chapter 1 verse 4, in him was life. In him is life. That life is the light of man. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there are many things that start to change in your life. The power of transformation. As you comply with the word of God, God starts to turn on light. Everywhere the life of Christ manifests in your life, there is also light. A turning on of a light bulb. Say with me, every part of my life, where the life transformation of Christ becomes evident, there will also be light. Ooh. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. When you allow the transformation of the word of God to take effect in some aspect of your life, the light bulb turns on and the darkness disappears. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John. First John chapter 5, and I'm going to read verse 11. Let's go. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Now, I want to hear your voices very loud. Let's go. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Hallelujah. God hath given us eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life is quality life. It is the life of God. The same kind of life that Adam had, where he had a unique fellowship with God and an unusual working relationship. Unique fellowship with God and an unusual working relationship. On Thursday, I spoke about a face-to-face, face-to-face prophet, a face-to-face man of God. When you come into the same kind of relationship that Adam was in before the fall. That same relationship is what Jesus came to introduce, to give us. He says, eternal life is in the Son. Eternal life is in the Son. That quality life, that face-to-face life with God, that life of interrelations, that life of working with God, where you feel Jehovah Shammah, God ever present with us. You feel Him, you know Him, you experience Him. In Christ Jesus, we are restored with that life that Adam lost. But it's progressive. It's progressive. I thought on Thursday of how we start by hearing God in dark sentences, in similitudes. But ultimately, we come into that maturity, that fullness, where God Himself infuses us with the fullness of His life. It's called the spirit of sonship. The spirit of sonship whereby we cry, Abba Father, the fullness, the maturing of the saints. Zoe is the life of God. And the Bible says, he who has the Son has life. Has life. Life restored. The life of God. That life of God turns on light. Turns on light. Turns on light. There is a light bulb that must go off in every single area where the enemy is oppressing us. There is a light that will go off. We will have solution. He who has the Son has life. He who has the Son has life. It comes as we are transformed, as we are changed into His image, into His likeness. The Bible says, from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. From glory to glory. From glory to glory. From glory to glory. When we don't walk in the standards of God's word, guess what? Automatically, we hurt others. It's automatic. If she doesn't walk in compliance to the standards that God expects of her, it hurts somebody. So you see, we're all guilty here this morning.
If I didn't answer my call, I will be in your lives. And if you believe that I'm God's will for your life, it's because I answered my what? My call. That's just a tiny little example. There are lots of things that make our life difficult simply because someone is acting a rogue. They are living. They are alive. But they are alive as bios. The Adamic life. The animalistic life. The life devoid of the life of God. Isn't it a blessing that we are to each other this morning? Someone came and cleaned. Someone came and set up. Someone came. Someone led us in praise and worship to God. Someone led us through consecration. Someone led us through sanctification. I mean, isn't it a blessing? Hallelujah. We didn't just come sit down here and everybody. Are you listening to me? Because somebody is acting out the life of God. Somebody is acting out the life. So can you imagine if more people were acting out the life of God? That your sister is acting the life of God. That your brother is acting the life of God. That your father is acting the life of God. Can you imagine the impact, the impetus, the release and the flow? Oh. Some of you are just broke because the people around you are rogues. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cain's problem was that he could not control his anger. Let's talk about the blood of life. The blood of life is released through forgiveness. The blood of life is released through forgiveness. God says, I have given blood on the altar for the atonement of souls. God gave blood. That's why if you sinned against God, in the Old Testament, you could buy an animal and offer its blood in atonement. But the Bible says it only covered sin for a season because it doesn't measure up to the quality of the human blood. Because it's just instinct, instinct, instinct. But God said, I accept that for a season. To make atonement. But Jesus came as the ultimate sacrifice that blots out the handwriting of ordinances with regulations that stand opposed to us. He nailed it to the cross. And Jesus taught in Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15, he says, if you forgive those who trespass against you, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive, God will not forgive you. You know who Cain did not want to forgive? God. Cain didn't have an issue with Abel. He had an issue with who? And God came down and said, hey, I see you're angry with me. I see you're angry with me. But just do the right thing. I can't take it. I can't take it. I can't handle it. I'm angry. Now, anger, if you allow anger to remain in you and the sun goes down, it degenerates into bitterness. It degenerates into what?
Bitterness.
Bitterness. Bitterness. And once there is bitterness, it shows on your demeanor. Your countenance changes. So, for every one of us, the Holy Spirit always comes in. Stop it. But it's subtle. Because God says, I will never contend with man again. In other words, God doesn't strive with us. He doesn't force us. He doesn't, you say, oh, if it is God, it should speak again. No, no, no. God is out of that business. The Holy Spirit will just nudge you. Stop it. You feel wrong about that brooding over what has happened in the past. Something that has gone wrong. Stop brooding. Don't sleep with it. Forgive. Forgiveness is how God intends to cut short anger. Forgiveness is how God intends to what? Cut short anger. And forgiveness is a virtue that Christ came to introduce into our bloodline. It's an instinct that we all have as born again. So the forgiveness is an instinct Jesus introduced through his blood by which we are saved. When you become saved, the instincts of our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember Jesus was on the cross. He was being chastised. He was being bruised. He was being whipped. And then he looked to God and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Ooh. Father, forgive them. Now, we see evidence of that. Introduction of forgiveness into our instinct. Stephen was being stoned. And the scripture says, he also said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So that grace, can you imagine?
What?
You heard that scream. Now, if it weren't me, and if it was someone else, it would hit this lady. Just that way, you can imagine what's going to happen. Why would she hit me? Why would she hit me of all people? Now she can continue being angry with whoever hit her, but that instinct of forgiveness will come. But we all have the tendency of saying, ah. And continue enjoying that state of anger. So it results in what? Bitterness. By tomorrow, if she hasn't forgiven me, she's going to be bitter. We'll say she's harboring malice. Forgiveness is the breaking point of anger, malice, bitterness, hatred. Forgiveness cuts it short. Forgiveness terminates it. Hallelujah. Forgiveness. Jesus said, if we forgive, our Heavenly Father will also what? Forgive us. There is a grace that comes upon us. The grace to forgive. And you must fight. In Hebrews chapter 12, he says, you have to resist the blood. In other words, fight. Let your spirit come under control. Let your human spirit come under what? Control. The reason is that the human spirit is powerful. Your children, the people who become connected to you and adopted by you, when you manifest the grace to forgive, it's easy. It's easy for them. We receive the grace from our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have to what? Exemplify it, manifest it. As we manifest it, even those connected to us by blood
become affected. That's why it's impractical to continue getting mad at your children for doing the wrong thing when you are not fixing yourself. When you are not fixing what? Yourself. So for everything happening in your sons and daughters, look inwards. There's a light bulb that is not yet releasing light. There is a grace that is not yet flowing. Don't take it up on the child. Deal with yourself. Give me 5 minutes and I'll be through. It is when you do not allow the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to trigger forgiveness in you, it will end up fury. Fury. Rage. Fury is like the anointing. Fury, when you see somebody who is acting furiously to kill another, to hurt another, it's as though they are under an unction. Yes, it is a demonic inspiration. That's what will cause someone to ultimately kill another. It's a spirit. It's an unction from the spirit of darkness. That unction happens when you harbor bitterness for long. Your spirit man becomes open. An open door. God told Cain. He says, sin is crouching at your door. Just as much as I have seen your countenance fall, I have seen the bitterness in your soul. The kingdom of darkness is also what? Seeing the same thing. Your spirit has become an open book in the realm of the spirit. If you don't forgive, you are exposed. Sin is knocking at your door. But God says you must what? Master it. Take control. The spirit of fury will cause you to destroy things, damage things. It will cause you to hurt others. The spirit of fury, is always contrary to purpose. When the spirit of fury takes over you, you lose control of purpose. Purpose is God's reason for your life. Because you are just going to kill somebody, and when you kill somebody, guess what? They're going to throw you also in jail. So it's a double effect. Just as much as you terminate somebody's destiny, your own destiny is what? Is terminated. Your purpose comes to an end. You cannot fulfill God's purpose. You can't walk in the anointing. The devil has taken hold of your anointing. The space of your anointing now controls you. The Bible says Cain walked Abel into the fields and killed Abel. But when Abel was killed, the voice of Abel's blood cried to God. I have been terminated prematurely. So I am denied of my destiny. Because God had a destiny for Abel. So he complained. And God told Cain, you will be a fugitive and a vagabond. That means that everyone's hand is going to be against you. Now some people wonder and say, oh, if there was no other human being, who was going to execute that? I'll deal with that on Thursday. Rise up on your feet. Life. Hallelujah. You have to receive the life of God and be a channel, be a conduit of life to others. A conduit of what? Life to others. This morning or afternoon, we're going to repent. Some of us, if they should take us to God's court of judgment,
they might give us life imprisonment. For some of the damages that we have caused. I want us to go into a sincere state of repentance and ask God to forgive us. There are things we said ignorantly, not knowing the consequence. You know, preparing this message has had a profound impact on my own life. Because one thing that I hate is hypocrisy. I like to preach what I am, to preach what I have become, to preach the impact of the Word of God on my life. And it's like my whole history opening up before me through the mirror of the Word of God. We're going to talk to God. We're going to say, God, anyhow, we've killed others. Anyhow, we've terminated others. The times when one statement can ring discouragement, can tie somebody up for many years. It's as if they've been locked into a prison and the key has been thrown away. One thing. Especially some of us who are leaders and teachers. And so there's a great burden. Some of us who are parents, things we have said. Lift your hands into heaven. Father, we come to you. Thank you for life through Christ Jesus. We heard your word. We repent. Anyway, we have terminated other people's lives. Anyway, we have obstructed the destinies of people. Anyway, that we have tied people up by our way of life, by the things we said, forgive us, cleanse us, release us by the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood that cleanses us, that releases us, make us whole again. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord praise.